Lord, today we just think about the fact that we are joining with heaven as we sing holy, holy, holy. As we say, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. What a heavenly, beautiful picture it is, Lord. Thank you for giving it to us in your scriptures. Thank you for the invitation to join, to come into alignment with worship and high adoration and praise. We bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have your way today in our minds, in our spirits, in our bodies, in our community. And Lord, would you bring transformation here, but may it also go forth. Yeah, we ask this in Jesus' powerful name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I actually just want to stay here just in a moment of kind of ministry. I've shared a little bit. I've just been navigating just a harder season, just some disappointments and just some things that haven't gone the way that I've wanted, or some different things that have been just happening, seems like one after another. And really, I don't typically get that way. I'm usually a positive, let's go person, but I found myself just in a little bit of a darker, more subdued just place. It's kind of different for me, right? And so last night I was praying, and in my basement, my pre-game routine is I have a ping pong table down there, and I have my computer there, I have my Bible, I've got worship going on. And I was standing there, just heavy-spirited, and I felt like the Lord said, ask me a question. If you were here last week, you heard Kim preach an amazing message on asking the Lord. And so as I was standing there, I immediately was reminded of something that my wife had been looking for a long time. It was a time of the essence. It was actually for one of our kids for school. There was no way to get another one, and so they were all back ordered, so there was no way. And so in our home, we had been spending 4 days just tearing up our home looking for something, so much so that there was a bounty out for this item. You guys know what I'm talking about? My wife put it on the table, hey, $5 for any kid, woman, man, child, whoever finds this thing, I will personally give them $5. And that's a big deal in our house, so literally the house was upside down. Nobody found this thing. And so I'm standing there with the Lord, kind of just heavy, just kind of like, Lord, man, these things aren't going on. These things, I feel like one after another, we're dealing with things. And then he just said, what do you want? And I said, really minor. I'm like, well, it'd be nice to find this thing my wife's looking for. And this impression, literally, I'm standing there at this ping pong table, and I felt like in here, not an audible voice, just be clear, we love the voice of God, but it's not like my voice coming. Oftentimes, it's an internal voice. Just, I felt like, turn around and walk to the fireplace that's in our basement. And so, like a child, I'm like, nobody's here to think I look stupid, so I'm just gonna go over here. And I go over to the fireplace, and I'm thinking like maybe it's in the plastic bin. But as I go over to the plastic bin, what I see is this like little three shelf thing. And the thing that we had been looking for 4 days all over our house, that my wife knows every area to look in because I never can find anything. Amen, women, you know what I'm talking about, is right there on that thing. And you're like, why are you sharing that story? Like, does your God care intimately about the things that are in your life? And in this moment that seems like super insignificant, you're like, why are you sharing it? In that moment where I've been just, it's been a season for me that's been hard to hope. And if anybody ever been in a season like that, anybody besides me, give me a little hope, okay? Anybody with me? Okay. So I'm just being authentic up here. But a season that's hard to hope, when that happened, it was like the door cracked open and light came into my spirit. And there was this hopefulness that arose that was not there the previous hour that I'd been down there praying for you guys and praying for this, that was not there. It was more of a, I'm gonna grind through this thing. And this thing shifted in my spirit that God reminded me that he restores all things. And in one day, he's gonna restore all things means all things. And so today, here's what I wanna do. I wanna stir up some faith in the room, activate the faith that you have. And I wanna pray for some of you that have something in your life that you need restored. Maybe it's something that you lost, like we had, or maybe it's your body, or maybe it's a relationship, or maybe it's a dream. If that's you, I'm going to ask you just to pop up to your feet real quick, just an act of faith, and I just want to pray a blessing over you. So if there's something in your life that you need restored, that you need the restorer to come through, I just want to allow my testimony of what God did in this very, what seemed very insignificant, but was very significant in my spirit and really blessed me. I just want to pray that over you. Yeah, so family style. So if there's somebody standing around you, we got people standing in the balcony. All right, if you're close to somebody and if you're part of this house and you don't mind, just go ahead and put a hand on the shoulder just for them to know they're not alone. It's so important. The scheme of the enemy is to make you think you're all alone. So some people up in the balcony, if you guys don't mind, just putting a hand on the shoulder. We're first and foremost a family here. There's no show going on here today. We're a people that are walking and learning to walk together. And so if you're praying for somebody, just bless them right now. You don't even need to know what they're asking the Lord to restore, but let's just bless them. And if you're asking, just say, Lord, here's what I need. I want this to be restored. So sometimes we don't have because we don't ask. And so right now, just ask the Lord to restore whatever it is that's lost, whatever is broken, whatever you're grieving, whatever just you're missing. Would you just ask the Lord right now like a child, in childlike faith, to restore. Yeah, Lord, we bless you, Father, who gives us faith to begin with. I bless those that stood to say that they have a need, that they have need restoration in some way. Lord, I thank you that you know the need. Just like all the birds, the sparrows, that you know that. You know all the ways, all the flowers, you clothe them. You know everything, Lord. And so we're asking, Lord, in faith, like children, that you would bring restoration in wild ways. Restore tenfold, 50-fold, 100-fold, Lord. Lord, just release the hope that you have. You are the God of hope. And so, Lord, we just release hope in this room. Lord, I pray that there'd be testimonies this week of how you restore, just like my little story of you restoring and bringing this to mind and leading me. Lord, would there be other testimonies of your goodness and your grace? Lord, we just say we receive it, we receive it, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Man, it is so good to be back with you guys this week. My family and I have spent some time in Texas the last 2 weeks. My wife's from Dallas, and so we were visiting family, and we hadn't seen some of them in 5 years, all of them which we hadn't seen in about 2 years except her parents. And so we were down there enjoying our time, and one of the days we were down there, my wife, my mother-in-law, and my daughter went to Waco, Texas. Anybody know what's in Waco, Texas, you ladies? Anybody know? What is it? Magnolia. So it was every woman's dream, every man's nightmare. No, just joking. It's close to that. But so my wife and her mom and my daughter, they went to Waco to look at all the things they looked at. I chose to stay home. Some men in the house say amen to that, right? So they went and had their thing. I'm there with the boys and my father-in-law. And I was like, hey, you know what? I wonder if the Texans are playing, or the Texans, I think that's what is the baseball team in Dallas? Rangers. I said Texans. Nobody corrected me. You guys need to love me better than that. Like, the Rangers. I said the Texans. That's weird. I lived in Houston. That was weird. So the Rangers, I said, I wonder if the Rangers are playing today. And so I got on my phone and looked up a Rangers game, and actually they were playing the Oakland Athletics. And I remember Mark McGwire, Jose Canseco. Remember when, you know, steroids were cool in baseball? Yeah, that was right back in the day. I remember them Smash Brothers. I'm like, that would be so cool to go see them play. And my little boy, not so little anymore, he's 10. He loves baseball, plays baseball, and he'd never been to a Major League Baseball game. And so I looked at him and said, hey, man, you want to go to a game? And he's like, oh, that would be amazing. And so I got on one of the third-party apps, and I was looking for cheap seats. I'm a good dad, but I'm a cheap dad. You know what I'm talking about? And so I'm like, let me find. And so I found some cheap seats. And these were actually great seats because they were in left center field, so kind of where the home run zone is. And they were the first row. First row. And so I knew at the very least we would be able to have nothing in front of us. We would at least see the field. Now we'd be way far away from all the action. But chances are that we could maybe catch a home run. At least that's what we were hoping. But I didn't realize when I bought them that the seats that were very cheap, front row, left center field, were also all-you-can-eat seats. Hot dogs. Hamburgers. If you're healthy, grilled chicken. Nachos, popcorn, soda, and yes, peanuts. And so, you know, this cheap, frugal dad ate the value of the tickets immediately when I got in there. Jet's like, can I go to the bathroom? No, we're getting another soda. We're gonna get it. Dad, can we just sit in our seat? No, we need to get a third hot dog right now. Let's go. And so we feasted on these cheap seats, front row, left center field. It was amazing. But what was interesting, we got there real early. We tried to get for batting practice. We just missed it. But the first inning, you know, not a lot of people were there. They're still slowly coming in. It was a really hot day in Texas. You know, the stadium's enclosed, so it was nice, 75 degrees. It was nice, but very slow. And so what happened is that the first inning had the most action. The Rangers scored 5 runs the first inning, but there wasn't a lot of people there to see it, so the stadium didn't get very loud. It was kind of like ho-hum, kind of quiet. And then after that, the second inning, third inning, fourth inning, not a lot of action happened. And so as people got there, there wasn't a lot of energy in the stadium. It was kind of like a baseball game, right? So it's long, it's about all I can say about a baseball game sometimes. It's long. And so not a lot happened. And so about the sixth inning, you know, we're 4 or 5 hot dogs in at this point, 2 hamburgers, 3 nachos, some jalapenos, and 6 Diet Cokes. But anyhow, he's counting. We're there, and it's kind of quiet. And then all of a sudden, we hear this noise, and somebody's like, woo! And these guys, it's like middle of the inning where they're like warming up and stuff. And we look back, and we see a guy standing up. Now, he was probably drunk at this time, but nobody, like, cared. And so he's standing up, and he's trying to start the wave. Woo! And everybody's kind of like, oh, woo, you know. But it was like the section right beside me and my son. We're in the front row, so we're having to look back at this drunk guy trying to get it going. And then he'd never seen the wave before. So he's like, Dad, it's the wave. And I'm like, yeah, it's the wave. Yeah, it's the wave. And so they start going, and we're in the corner, like the outside outfield in the right corner, or left corner field. That's right, we're looking. And so our section was there, and so we started going, and the wave started going, and it got to the corner, and right where the foul pole was, it kept dying. But this guy was like the persistent widow. I knew he knew the Bible. He was drunk, but he knew the Bible. And so he's like, we're going to do this thing right. We're going to do this thing right. And so he said, let's do it again. Woo! And then it would go and go, and then a little bit later, it would go down the third baseline a little bit further, and then it would peter out, and our section would be like, oh, man. 4 or 5 times later, it finally gets to home plate area, and we're so excited. It's going to make the turn, and then it dies out. Like, those people pay way too much for those tickets. They're not involved. They don't want to be part of the stadium. And he's like, let's do it again. And now probably 3 beers more in him at this point. Let's go. You know, and finally that our section beside us started, and we're going and going, and then my son sees it, and little by little the momentum's growing, and people are watching, and then it gets to the home plate, and then it goes past home plate this time, and it goes around and around, and it goes past the first base corner, and then all the way back to our section, and when it happened, the stadium roof went off. Woo! Louder than any home run that we saw during the game was the wave that we completed, and it didn't stop, though. We're like, it happened once, let's do it again. Woo! And I think it went around 7 times. And there was so much energy, so much celebration. It was like we had accomplished something as a group of people. There was a ton of movement, celebration. And it made me think of something the Lord has been teaching me. When we were in the UK ministering, one of the things the Lord started asking me about or inviting me to learn about was about moves of God. Movements. What does it look like to be part of a move of God? What's it look like to steward, to be in a leadership role as a move of God has taken place? And so I've been leaning in, and I've been studying, I've been looking at history, I've been studying the scriptures, and so today I want to talk about movement, what it looks like to be part of a move of God. Just like we were part of this incredible movement in the stadium where everybody was rallying together and crazy momentum and celebration. When I say movement, and this is what I mean either a personal, individual, or a communal, community, transformation into the fullness of God's design. Not a bunch of hyped up people that can sing a song, you know, or get super excited, but what a real move of God is when there's transformation that leads personal and community into the original intent or design or desire of God. So today I want to talk about this kind of movement, both personal but also corporately, what it looks like. And the thing that keeps coming to mind is that a move of God is not man-made, but it does require mankind. I want you to hear this. A move of God, which we hopefully you desire to be part of what God's doing, a movement of God, it is not man-made. It's not like some pastor dreamed it up and made it happen. It's not like a community says, we want to do this, or we're going to do it. No, it is not from man. It's from God, but it does require mankind. Just like doing the wave required all the people to participate, so is a move of God. The momentum of God on the earth, it requires humanity. I'm going to show you in the scriptures several places that we see this. From the very beginning, this is how it was. Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. God has been creating. He's now on the sixth day. He's crowned his creation by creating humanity. He's made us in his image, it says, in his likeness. And then I always picture God in Genesis 1:28 getting Adam and Eve in kind of like this holy divine huddle, like huddling them up, like this is giving you the game plan. This is what's going to happen. And he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heavens, and over everything that moves on the earth. So in this moment, God is setting the stage for what it's going to look like for him to carry out his will or his desires on the earth. How many of you know God is all-powerful? Is anybody else besides me? How many of you know that God is sovereign? We throw that word around a lot, but God is above all things, and he can do anything he wants to do at any time. But in his sovereign, infinite wisdom, he has chosen to bring about his rule and reign, which is the kingdom of God, the rule and reign that he has in heaven as in on earth, not by just forcing it or being like a puppet strings, but he actually wants to do it through humanity. So he brings Adam and Eve in this holy huddle and says, guys, this is what you're going to do. You're going to walk with me. You're gonna talk with me. You know that song? It's a good song. But you're gonna get to know me, and as you do, you're gonna extend the rule and reign until the entire earth is filled with my glory and the kingdom of God comes over all. Not because I'm gonna make it happen, because I'm actually gonna invite you to be part of doing it. Humanity and God together are gonna do it. And we see this theme. It's not just Adam and Eve, that first holy huddle. We see this in Genesis chapter 13 or chapter 12, a little bit later in the story. People, you know, Adam and Eve have messed up, and yet how many of you are glad that God just didn't say, okay, Adam and Eve, you messed up, you're done? How many of you are so grateful that we have a God that extends grace? He comes to them in the garden. Is that your kind of God? When you're messed up, when you've jacked up, when you find yourself in the pit, does your God come to you? That's the God we see here. And he didn't just say, Adam and Eve, you're terrible. No, he says, let me actually clothe you. Let me take your shame away from you so that you can be in relationship with me. Somebody say, that's good news. That's a good God, right? That's a good God. He comes to them. He doesn't give up hope on humanity as many times as we fail. He still says, you are my plan. You are the vessel that I'm going to bring about my kingdom in. You, yes, you. And so we get to the story in Genesis chapter 12, and he picks a guy named Abe. And he comes to him and he begins to speak to him. And he says, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. And I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And in him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be what? Blessed. It says, in you, through you, all the kingdom. Here's the first thing that we have to recognize. What is God's desire to do for the earth? All the people of the earth. Say it. It's okay. It's on the tip of your tongue. Bless. Do you know that? The God of the universe, the sovereign one, his desire is to bless. Not to curse, not to condemn, but to bless. This is God's desire. This is how amazingly perfect he is. Good His desire is to bless. But he says, I'm going to actually bring that blessing through my people, and then they're going to go into all the earth, all the locations, all the different people types, all the different groups of people that we like to divide. They're going to go into all these, and they are going to bless from there through humanity. That's how God's going to do it. He said, I'm going to work through you to carry out my desire, which is to bless all the people of the earth, every color, every language, every ethnicity, every way that we could divide ourselves into teams. He says, I want to bless them all, and I'm going to work through you in it. And then we get to Matthew chapter 28. So Jesus at this point has come on the scene. He's been killed. He was resurrected, and now he's spending his last few moments with his dear friends. In verse 16, it says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Don't you love that nuance in the scripture? They worshiped him, but some doubted. Do you know that this morning as we sang, many of us worship God in spirit and truth, but if we're honest, some of us doubted, is this God even real? Is this God that we're singing to, is there even a God out there? And if he is he good? And you know what? You would be like many people in the scriptures. And so if you've got questions about God, if you've got doubts about God, you found a good place to call home. All of us at some point have questions about God. How many of you know God is a mystery? Does anybody else know that? He's a mystery. There's so many things that I don't understand about God. Suddenly. And so there's times when we come and we have doubts, but I'm telling you, if you come and you have doubts, that in itself is a statement of faith that I'm still gonna come and I'm gonna, even in my doubts, even in my questions, I'm gonna show up and I'm gonna be part of this family. And so I wanna honor you in the room if you have doubts that you're here today. We recognize that, and you're not the only one in this room, all right? Your pastor has questions and sometimes doubts and thoughts about this. And so I love that the scriptures here say that they worshiped, but some doubted. And then verse 18, it said, Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, 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 therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Movement. Go. I'm sending you, but I'm not sending you alone. I'm going to be with you to the end of the age. And so what we see is that God is always moving, and he's saying to me, Derek, come with me. Be part of what I want to do. I'm going to do some things on the earth, but I'm going to do it through humanity. And Derek, I'm inviting you to be part of it on a big scale, but also in a personal scale, in my home, in my neighborhood, in my city, in my region. God is saying, will you join me? Will you come with me? And what I love about God's invitation is it's not an invitation to produce, but to participate. We just take a collective deep breath. Because sometimes we talk about movement and it's like, I gotta do the thing. I gotta work hard. I gotta do better. I gotta do things. But God's invitation is that we would participate, not produce. This is what the invitation was at the ball game, right? The Rangers game is everybody was invited to participate, right? And as I looked around, I was thinking about how many people chose not to participate. And like I said, the wave finally got going, and it went around like seven times. And so some people, like on the third time, they're like, okay, I'll participate. That's good. I'll jump in. Woo! Some people on the fifth time, woo! Some people on the last time, they're like, oh, that's what's going on. Woo, right? There was always a chance to engage and actually be part of what the movement that was going on. And I want you to hear this, that there's always opportunity, no matter how many times you've said no to the move of God in the past, there's always an opportunity to say yes. I don't care how many decades you feel like you've lost or that somehow you've said no, rejected the Lord. I'm telling you today that God wants to restore even what you feel like is lost. That what he wants to do in your life is so fresh in the invitation. So, and what's great about God, it's not just seven times. It's not like at the stadium. You got seven chances, then it's done. We ain't doing it again. That guy's had too many beers, right? We're not doing it anymore. God's like seven times 70. You know what 7 times 70 means in the scripture? As many times as it takes. Derek, will you join me? God, Derek, you want to join me? Derek, will you join me today? Will you join me? This is the invitation of the Lord to be part of the move of God that's going on around you. Now, as I looked around the stadium, there was a lot of people that did not participate, even though we were having a lot of fun and joy. And so there's three reasons why I saw people not participating at the stadium. Number one, a lot of people were just unaware. They were not aware that this thing was going on. They were tuned into the baseball game, which was fine, or they were going to get another hot dog, or they were having a conversation. They were just unaware. So because they were unaware, they were not participating in what was going on in the stadium, this movement, this momentum. Others didn't participate because they were distracted or they had other priorities. They were trying to get on the kiss cam, you know what I'm talking about? They were trying to dance and get on the video, or they were having a deep conversation with somebody. They were trying to find out where their kid was that they lost. You know, lots of different things could distract, but for whatever reason, they weren't participating because they were distracted or they had other priorities. And the third thing, and actually the two guys beside us, my son, with all his zeal and childlikeness, he was all into it, but these other two guys, they'd been to a couple games before. I mean, you know, you've been to a game before. And so, you know, they weren't really having it. And so the other reason why some people didn't participate is they just said, no, I'm not doing it. I just reject it. And I was thinking about this analogy, which every analogy falls short for sure, but I feel like some of those things are true for the invitation to move with God as well. Sometimes we choose not to participate with the move of God because we're unaware. We just don't even recognize it. And this is how sometimes it gets is that like in the season that I've kind of been navigating, I feel like coming out of, sometimes our gaze is just right here. You guys know what I'm talking about like that? We call them navel gazers. Anybody else know what I'm talking about there? Like all I see is right here. And when my head is all about here, my perspective of what God is doing out here is very limited. And so some of us in the room, like you've been so heavy with all the things in the world, the things that are going not well in your life, the things you had hoped for that you haven't seen come to pass, that your head's so weighted down like this, that you're not even aware that God is doing so many things on the earth, and not just on the earth, but in your life or all around you. And so sometimes we don't participate with God because we're unaware. Sometimes we don't participate with God because we're distracted and we have other priorities. And sometimes these priorities aren't even bad. Like raising kids is a good thing. Actually, the scriptures have a lot to say. Being a great husband or wife is great. Providing for your family, all these good things. But these good things, when they become our priority above God, can become really bad things. And it can keep us from engaging and participating in what God has for us. And the third thing, and I think if we're honest, we've all been in that season, sometimes we just tell God no. Derek, will you join me in this? Nope, not gonna do it. No, I'm not ready for that. I wanna sit here and wallow in my darkness for a little longer. You guys know what I'm talking about. You've been there before. Nope, not gonna do it. And so today, I wanna make you, hopefully position you to be aware, and I wanna call your head to raise up, and I want you to begin to see, or at least to ask, what is God doing? How is he moving? But as I look throughout history, as I study the scriptures and see different examples of this, there are three things that I think slow down the momentum or the movement of God. Three things. And so three things, I'll hit these very quickly. Three things that I feel like slow the movement of God. Number one thing, and I think this is true in all of life, is refusal to change. If you want to slow down what God is inviting you into, just tell him, I'm not going to change, God. See, the invitation of God is to come with him, but how many of you know when I begin to walk with God, I'm learning how to walk with God, and that requires me to adjust to him. The word we use, the religious word, is repent, which means to change your mind. And so I just give you a clear warning. To walk with God means that you are signing up for a lifestyle of changing your mind about everything. Changing your perspective, changing how you view your enemy. Oh man, stepping on toes. Changing how you think about politics. Change how you think about leadership. Change how you think about finances. It's an invitation to transform, to be changed. And what I've seen is that refusal to change is for sure an invitation to stop. When we fear, the fear of change is greater than the disappointment of staying the same, that's when a movement will stop. When the fear of change is greater than the disappointment of staying the same, that's when you know the move of God has slowed down in your life. And honestly, this is how many churches go. There's great seasons, and then they're like, we're not going to change anything ever again. It's the same in our life. If you want to slow down the movement of God, refuse to change. Number two is comparison to another. Another person, another job, another church, another community, another, you fill in the blank. We have story after story of story. Saul and David. We see Cain and Abel. We even see Peter try to do it with John after Jesus restores Peter. This is all throughout the scripture. This is really what humanity tends to do is we begin to look at other people and other situations and we begin to have envy over what's going on there. And when I'm looking over here, guess what I'm not seeing? I'm not seeing what God is doing right here. When I'm looking at another marriage, none of y'all ever do that, I know that, but when I'm looking at somebody else's experience through usually social media, when I'm looking at them and I'm like, wow, their husband does this? Wow, their wife, wow, she wears that? Wow, and so I'm so captivated by what's going on here, I fail to recognize what God has offered me in my own marriage. The same is true in churches or businesses. Like, it's like, what about over there? Like, what about this over here? And then I'm missing out on the opportunity, what God is doing right here in this moment. That's why, honestly, we've got to be really wise with social media. And social media is great. Like, it can be great. And you guys hear this, you know this, pastors preach this all the time. Like, social media is not a bad thing in and of itself. I don't think we all just need to shut down Facebook, well, maybe Facebook, but Instagram, all that stuff. Like it's not terrible. We need people that love Jesus and are following Jesus in those spaces, but we also have to bring something different to those spaces. Different perspective, different thoughts, different wisdom. Because I hear too many people that get caught up in the comparison game. They're on vacation, they're at the beach, but somehow they're looking at somebody else's picture of their beach and like, man, I wish my water was clear like that one. Or they're on a date with their spouse, looking at their phone. Don't do that, by the way. And they're like, man, this person's at a 5-star restaurant and I'm here at Arby's. Or Applebee's, because I'm fancy. East Tennessee, baby, come on. Right? Like, we gotta be wise. Comparison, I'm telling you, it'll kill the move of God in your life. It'll kill the move of God in a church when a church begins to think about, oh, what's God doing over there in this church and that revival and that stuff? And you get so consumed with what God's doing over there, you fail to realize what God is offering you in your own life, in your own place that he's placed you. And so we got to be aware comparison is a thief when it comes to the movement of God. The third thing is a thinking, and that's when we begin to have empire over kingdom thinking. It's when we begin to think about, like, how can I secure everything that I have and what's going to promote Derek, what's going to help Derek? And it's all about self-preservation and self-protection. And so many businesses and churches, they take this route that they're like, man, there was great movement of God, great things. And they get so far and they're like, how do we make sure we can control this thing? How do we make sure we can set systems in place that we can have this forever? And we begin to look at ways, how do we lift ourselves up? How do we promote ourselves? And when that happens, we've separated from the ways of God. When we have systems that we rely on more than the Holy Spirit, we have missed out on what God is doing. So we want to be a people that don't think empire, but we think kingdom. What's the kingdom look like? What's the good of our community? What's it look like to serve other people? Once we have an empire thought, we totally miss out on what God is doing. I think these three things honestly rob us from experiencing much of what God has for us. But there's three things too that I want to close with today that I think can, I use the word accelerate. I'm not sure honestly if I could go back if I would change that word. But three ways that I think allow us to embrace what God is doing, to be part of the move of God. Number one is community. Community, if you want to be part of what God is doing, don't do it alone. Don't try to be isolated. It doesn't work that way. Even God, in the way that he moves, is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's community. It's all community. He is inviting us into what community? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He's inviting Derek into community, and he says, do it with other people. This is what a move of God looks like. It's not one rogue person having fun. It's a community. I heard the African proverb, if you want to go somewhere fast, go alone. But if you want to go somewhere far, go with others. That's a deeply beautiful truth. That I don't know about you, but I'm not into going fast anywhere. Like nowadays, like I'm getting close to 40. I'm like, I want to go far. And I don't want to go alone. I want to go in community. And this is how God is orchestrated. Listen, I'm telling you right now, like if you want to see a move of God in your family, don't try to do it on your own. If you want to see a move of God in the work that you own, like you're a business owner and you're trying to figure it out, find some other business owners and say, what are you doing? What's it look like for you to partner with what God is doing? Don't do it alone. If you hear nothing else, don't do it alone. Even when Jesus says, go into all the world, he says, I'm going to be with you. You're not alone. And then he says, I'm going to send out the 70. He didn't send them out one at a time. You know what he did? Two by two. Community. Community. God is all about community. Can we just say amen to that? He wants to operate in community. It's how movements work, how they're sustained is through community. Number two, what accelerates a movement is faith. That word sounds great to say. Can we all just all say faith? Faith. Faith. It's a short word, concise word, but it's hard when God says, Derek, will you follow me? And I'm like, where are we going? He's like, just follow me. And I'm like, where are we going? Trust me, follow me. Derek, take this step. And you're like, okay, God, I trust you. You see, faith is what God's after. He loves to work with faith. And his invitation to all of us in this movement is Derek, come with me, trust me. The word faith means to hear from the Lord and then to obey. And so it's this constant where I'm listening to God, I'm asking him questions, and then I'm stepping out in faith, trusting the Lord. That's what Abram did. That's what we see all throughout the scriptures is men and women, they hear the voice of God and they step out in faith. And to do that, we've got to remain hungry and humble. Hungry and humble. The scriptures tell us that the hungry and the thirsty are what? They're satisfied. And I'm so glad that we have a church that's growing in hunger, that's thirsty for righteousness, and learning to listen to God and step in obedience to God. And the last one that I hit on today is something that's near and dear to my heart and I think is essential, and that's abiding. Abiding. In John chapter 15, Jesus talks about abiding, and he says, unless you abide in me and I in you, you can bear no fruit. You can do nothing. But if you abide in me, if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And sometimes in the church world, pastors get together and we talk. And sometimes pastors, we like to measure things sometimes. And so I was with a group of pastors and they were talking about church health and measure. What are they measuring? You know, you can guess what a lot of churches measure, and that's things like baptisms, salvations, giving, attendance, all the things you can guess that anything you can count. You know, that's usually what people measure. And I was sitting there. I'm like, does that really tell you the health of a church, the health of community? I mean, I don't know. There were 10, 15, 20,000 people at whatever concert was last night. Does that mean they're healthy? There were 40,000 people at the baseball game. Does that mean it's healthy? So crowds don't necessarily mean it's healthy, but my question to them was, guys, I think the measure of a healthy church, a healthy community is how are we abiding? Like that should be our measure, not like How many people got baptized? How many people got saved? Like, those are great things, and we want to see those things, and we're seeing those things. We want to see more of that. But as your pastor, as your leader, like, I'm more concerned, are people learning how to remain with God in the great moments when they're high fives? I love giving God high fives. Let's go. But also, man, when you lose your job, how do you abide? When you get a health prognosis that isn't all roses, how do you abide? When you have disappointment after disappointment, you get hurt, you're feeling good, how do you abide? That's the kind of community that I want to be in, that draws me back to setting my eyes on Jesus. It's in that place that I behold him that I'm transformed from glory to glory. And so abiding, I think, is an essential part of a move of God that we're learning how to do. I'm learning in this season, honestly, a different way of remaining with God, being tethered to God. So this morning, I want to wrap up by just praying, and I want to ask just two questions that I think the Lord would have us ask. He said that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. That means that he has more to give us than we can imagine, but he's waiting on people to say yes, to receive the invitation to move with him. I believe that God has so many things to give us. He's just waiting for people to say, I'll take it. Give it to me, God. Here I am. So this morning, let's just take a moment before we head out of here, before we go grab lunch and do all the things we do. Let's just take a moment and let's not be unaware. Let's ask the Lord, God, what kind of movement do you have around my life personally? Like, don't think about the big picture, what God's doing, but just say, you personally, what is God saying? What is he inviting you into in your family, your neighborhood, your place of employment? Just take a moment and just say, Lord, where are you moving? Help me to see. I don't want to be unaware. I want to see what you're doing. I don't want to miss it. Week, I would encourage you, just continue that conversation. You know, we say messages or sermons here are never supposed to end with a period, but a comma for you to continue the conversation with God. And so continue this week, just saying, Lord, where are you at work? Where are you moving? And then ask this question. Let's ask this question as we'll finish up. God, how are you moving in this church and in this greater community? Because I live here, it's ordained that I'm here. Lord, I want to be part of what you're doing. I don't want to just be sitting on the sidelines. I don't want to reject you. I want to be part of it. So Lord, what are you doing in our region, in this community of faith? What are you doing? I would just have you ask these questions this week to the Lord. Write down what you sense. And then just give him your yes. Take a step of faith. Whatever it is, it'll probably be small. Like my turn around and go look at the fireplace. That's what he wanted me to do. He just needed me to step out in faith. If I never would have stepped out of faith, I never would have found that thing. It's tied together. He wants to give us things. He says, trust me. And so, Lord, I pray a blessing over this community. Lord, I thank you for those joining us online and in this room, for those that are visiting for the first time, those that have been here 30 years. I bless them. Lord, we as a community, we're saying that we want to be part of what you're doing. And we know, Lord, it's going to look different than what we probably expected. But we thank you that you're just asking for our participation. We don't have to produce anything. And so, Lord, there's freedom, there's rest in it. So, Lord, would you breathe life into us? Would you give us momentum from heaven, wind from heaven, the Holy Spirit? As we go into this week, we bless you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Thank you for moving. Thank you for inviting us to go with you as we see the world transform for your glory. This time we're gonna have our prayer ministry team up here. If you have any needs whatsoever, maybe it was around the restoration, you want somebody to just pray specifically for that. Maybe today you're like, man, I wanna be part of what God's doing. Will you join me in prayer? Maybe today you're just like, man, I need a physical healing or something like that. We would love to pray with you. These men and women are incredible. They love to pray and they love to talk. And so if you have any needs, please come down before you head out. Other than that, guys, we love you. Go this week. Know that God is moving and he's inviting you. Have a great week.